Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a listener-supported ministry. In fact, thank you so much for being part of that support for James Dobson Family Institute.
Welcome to Family Talk Weekend. I'm Roger Marsh, and thanks for making time during your weekend to take us along or to have us with you at home. Family Talk is listener-supported radio, and your partnership makes these programs possible. We have a great program for you today, so let's jump right in. Hello, and welcome to Family Talk. Family Talk is the radio home of Dr. James Dobson, America's preeminent Christian child psychologist and best-selling author of many books, including Dare to Discipline, The Strong-Willed Child, Bringing Up Girls, and more. We are so glad that you found our program today as we are sharing the second installment of a series that we're calling Planting Shade Trees. It's about leaving a legacy for those who will come after us, and it features author, comedian, and speaker Dennis Swanberg. The Swan, as his friends often call him, speaks to about 150 organizations, faith-based groups, and corporations every year. He has authored 9 books and created over 24 DVD or CD productions. You can go to Dennis's ministry website at DennisSwanberg.com to find out more about this popular JDFI ministry partner. Dennis Swanberg is a graduate of Baylor University, where he majored in both Greek as well as religion. He earned a Master of Divinity and a Doctor of Ministry at Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. Dennis served as a local church pastor for 23 years before stepping down from that role and stepping up to the microphone to speak on stages and platforms all over the world. Because of his ministerial background, you know that when you listen to Dennis speak, you'll not only be entertained, but you will also hear biblical truth. Dennis Swanberg is married to Lori. They have 2 grown sons, Chad and Dustin, and the Swans make their home in Granbury, Texas. Here now is Dennis Swanberg with a hilarious and pertinent presentation about leaving a legacy by planting shade trees, right here on Family Talk.
Y'all had shade trees in your yard, amen? Don't you love those shade trees where you can get in those shade trees underneath there and just sort of kick back, relax, remount, and reload? And I tell you, we've got a lot. Swan, oh, I've got a lot of those shade tree memories. I think back to those days out there at Grandma and Grandpa's house. Couldn't beat Grandma and Grandpa's house, amen? I tell you, I'd get out there at Grandma and Grandpa when I was just a little fella. You know, I'd say, Mamma, Papa, Grandma, Grandpa, you know how you call them, everything. Mimi, Pops, Pow, Pow, Wow, Wow, Papa, Mama. Why can't we just have Grandma and Grandpa? But I'm not.
I like Mimi. I like Mimi.
Well, they've always called me Pops. Pops.
Okay, well, let's move on. But I'd go to Grandma and Grandpa's. That's what I called mine. And I remember it was a big deal to go out there to their house and spend the night. And I'd say, Mamma, Grandma, Papa. See, you got me saying it now, Mamma, Papa. Say, can I spend the night with you? Okay, come on out, come on out. Man, Grandma, Grandpa Johnson, my mama's parents, they just open those doors all the time. Come on, just come on. And all the other cousins, can we come too? All right, all of you, come on. And sometimes it'd be all of us, some of them, one of us, and just a few of us. But man, we'd get out there and all the memories. A lot of memories there on the farm. I remember we'd eat preserves, preserves, preserves. We had preserve everything. Grandma had watermelon rind preserves, tomato preserves. I'd mush them tomatoes up. And she'd say, squish them, squish them, squish them. And I'd mesh them up, and then we'd cook them and put sugar in there. Tomato preserves. Add a bunch of sugar. It goes a long, long way. We had an old fig tree there by the barn. We had fig preserves, fig preserves. Now, that'll set you free, let me tell you. Man, how many of you get that big old jar of fig preserves and take your knife and go deep down there and pull up a wad of figs? I always liked more of the juicy stuff that'd spread easy, but I'd spread and have one big blob there. Could gag on that thing sometimes. Of course, Grandma'd say, eat that, it's good, it's good. Man, we'd eat those fig preserves. Help Grandma. Sometimes we'd have a dream sandwich. A dream sandwich. Take 2 pieces of bread, put some butter on there, some sugar on there, put a tomato on there, put some fig preserves on there. and then dream what kind of meat you wish was in that. How many been there? You been there? Ooh, that was good. That was good. Low in caloric intake. And I remember we'd have those sandwiches, and we'd have times when we'd watch television with Grandpa. You know, Grandpa, he just enjoyed one couple of shows, Gunsmoke, Have Gun, Will Travel, and that's about it. Then he'd say, turn it off, let it rest, let it rest, let it rest. We'd sit there, be watching television, we'd drink a big old RC of cola, because it had 12 ounces in it. Those other bottles just had 10, and we felt it was better stewardship in the kingdom. Have 12 ounces. I'd grab that thing with both hands when I was a little boy. Just put it up there. You know, put the mouth over the whole bottle. Just. Sometimes I'd just eaten some vanilla wafers and they sort of went back in there with a backwash. Some of you kids do that to your daddy. It didn't bother Grandpa. He'd say, give me some of that. Oh, and then but nighttime would come, and it'd be cold sometime down there in Central Texas, cold. And Grandpa's house was old. Grandpa was born in the corner of the house that he slept in. He went to be with the Lord when he was 94. That's a long time in one corner. I felt like I spent some time like that in the corner at schools forever and ever. Grandpa was in that corner. That was his corner, his bed. But when I'd spend the night with him, he'd say, you can sleep in my bed. He's old Swede. So I'd get in there, but it'd be cold. Because you see, Grandpa would turn all the little floor furnaces off, our little butane gas heaters off, because he's afraid that we might be gassed during the night. Didn't want to have a fire during the night. Turned it all off. No insulation in that house. Cold, friend. Are you hearing me? Cold. I remember as a little fella, I'd get in that bed. Sometime Grandma would get a big old brick and heat it up in the oven, wrap it with a towel from Breeze detergent. Set it down there, your feet just go to it automatically like a magnet. Sometimes she didn't take the time to do that, and it was so cold, you know. You see, Grandpa, because of that butane gas, just in case, he left the window open next to the bed about 6 inches. Wind just whip in on your bed, just whip in across you. There was times when my little hair would just blow in the wind. But it didn't bother Grandpa, he lived to be 94. They put quilts on me. That's back when women quilted. What's happened to some of y'all women? Most we get out of y'all nowadays is a little Afghan. Little Afghan for Jesus. Man, they quilted back then. They'd quilt together. They'd get together and quilt. Love the ladies would come and they'd quilt and they'd share things and they'd talk about stuff in life and share things about other people. That's where intercessory prayer began, see? Are you with me? Either that or you know how you'd have those telephones back then. We had a party line. We were two longs and a short. And we shared a party line with other farms. And if it wasn't even, maybe it was two shorts and a long and it wasn't yours, but you know, if you were bored. Some of y'all need to ask for forgiveness, I can tell right over here. We'd pick that phone up and listen in so we'd know how to pray for that family more effectively. I'm just giving my testimony, sir. Okay, just giving my testimony. And oh, we'd be there and we'd be underneath those quilts. Sometime 2-3 quilts, cold. 4-5 quilts, cold. And I'm gonna tell you something, when you're 6 years old and they put that many quilts on you, however they lay them on you, that's how you sleep the rest of the night. There is no way you can get out of that, yeah. Remember my mama, when I got home a couple days later, my mama asked me, did you wet the bed? See, I was a bedwetter till I was in the sixth grade. No drugs, no alcohol, just bedwetting. I said, no, ma'am, no, ma'am.
You did?
No, ma'am, I did not wet the bed. I did not wet the bed. I am so proud of you. My little mama, Pauline Bernadine, I wish you could just see. Just, I am proud of you. See, I knew you could do it. I knew you could do it. I said, I did not wet the bed. I am so proud of you. I said, I wet the quilts. I know I'm terrible, man, but I just had to share that story. Felt led. I just really realized that I look back on those days. Those are a lot of memories, you know. And we had some good times back there at the country. My mom and daddy, they're great people. Floyd, Leon, and Pauline Bernadine. They're great folks. Great mom and dad to me. And now they're great grandparents. Good grandparents to my boys, you know. And I have great memories of them in those days. And even in these days, you know, just the other day. My little mama, Pauline Bernadine, my daddy, Floyd Leon, 62220. I was bonding with him. We were talking about days of old and stuff, you know. And I said, Mama, tell me about old daddy. What was old Floyd Leon like when he was a boy, a young man, when y'all were dating? Well, your daddy was aggressive. My daddy, Floyd Leon, Deacon Floyd, well, he wasn't always a deacon. My daddy, I said, Mama, what? I said, listen, did daddy kiss you on the first date? Oh, yes, right on the mouth. Took my breath away. I asked him where he learned to kiss like that, and he said, siphoning gas.
Oh, some of you young couples are going, I went right over their head. They're going, siphoning. Why do you think these couples stay married for 50 years? They learned to siphon gas early.
I tell these young couples now, if I do a little counseling, I say, have you ever siphoned some gas? You need to work on that, you know. But anyhow, but I love my mom and my daddy. And the memories of the country and my life, they planted shade trees for me. Shade trees of joy and shade trees of laughter, shade trees of the Lord, I mean, sharing Jesus with me at an early age. I love all those shade trees. And, you know, there's a lot of shade tree planters out there. I mean, shade tree folks. I think of Billy Graham. Billy Graham! And he's planted shade trees all over the world. Shade trees of hope and wisdom and joy.
And I even imagine Billy would even say, I love North Carolina because there's trees over there. And I love trees over at Montreat. And we enjoyed the trees and the shade for all these years.
And then I imagine there's folks like old Slim Pickens.
I guarantee you one thing. In Texas, we enjoy a shade tree. Sometimes you get a little oak, and you sit underneath there for a while. Out in the sun, it's 110. Under the oak, it's 105 and feels good.
Or a John Wayne, let me tell you, when you're on the trail, you look for a little shade along the journey. I love those shade trees. Kick back and relax and enjoy. And that's right, shade trees. You can't beat a good shade tree. And you can't beat a good shade tree planter. Folks that have done something for you, and yet they've never really enjoyed that particular shade for themselves. I think of those that have gone before me, guys like old Billy Graham. I mean, what a great man of God. I remember listening to him preach when I was a little boy, and I remember one time he preached something like,
there's seven things that God can't do. Seven things God can't do. Number one, God cannot lie.
And I went, that's good, that is good, that is good.
And God can't turn his head upon a repentant sinner, on and on and on and on.
And yet, you know what? I've never had the joy of meeting Billy Graham and doing Billy for Billy. Maybe he's never had the joy of hearing me. I don't know. Makes me nervous sometimes when I do Billy. Had a little lady tell me one time, I don't think you should do Billy. He is a man of God. I said, well, what about me? We don't know. We don't know. But I tell you what, old Billy Graham, he's planted many a shade tree for me. And as I go and speak and entertain, and if I do a little Billy for someone, you know, they just go, I'm allowed to do Billy again. And I said, I'm glad to do it over and over and over forever and ever and ever. You know, the way I learned to do Billy was I was watching The Tonight Show one night years ago, and Johnny Carson was talking to Billy, and Billy was talking back to him, and Billy said, Johnny, you're a sinner, and I'm a sinner. And Johnny said, well, what about Ed? Ed McMahon.
Ed too.
And so I was watching that, and I just said, and Ed too. Johnny, you're a sinner. And all of a sudden, I learned, and I picked up Billy.
And so I get to do him all over the world. Impersonations. He planted a shade tree for me that he's never sat under. Oh, maybe someday I'll get to entertain him. I'd love to do that. If I ever get to meet Billy, I've already got it in my mind what I'm going to do. I mean, if I walk in the room, I'm saying, and I want you to stay right there. I'm coming to you. It'll only take me a moment to come, and I have no literature. I'm here. And I want to do Billy for Billy,
you know. And then I think of those others like a John Wayne, who's been a character a long, long time. And yet, I never got to meet him. He never got to meet me. He's been a blessing to me, a shade tree for me to entertain folks, because everybody loves the Duke. And of course, the Andy Griffith Show. Oh, Don Knotts, oh, Barney. Now listen. Listen, listen, listen to me. This body is a weapon, you know. Listen. A sword. I'm going to tell you something. I've enjoyed people all over the world. I love singing. I can sing a cappella. A cappella, a cappella. You know, but the Barn, I mean, he is just, I mean, I've done him forever. Everywhere I go, they say, do Barney. I go, well, listen, okay, get it together.
Do a little Ernest T. Bass. Charlene, Charlene, I love you, Charlene.
And then old Barney will say, he's a nut, you know. And maybe if we met, he'd tell me that I'm a nut. But he planted a shade tree, don't you think, for me and for you. A shade tree that he never, ever got to sit under. Well, you go through the Bible and you come across folks that have done the very same thing. So get your Bible, I'm going to get mine, and turn to Jeremiah chapter 32. This is a tremendous passage of Scripture. I just love this Scripture. And it's talking about in the days of Jeremiah when God's people hadn't been faithful, when God's people had disobeyed, were worshiping other gods, not being faithful to the true God. And God warned them through the prophet Jeremiah over and over again. He said, listen, I'm going to tell you something now. He said, listen, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to let the Babylonians come in, and they're going to take over, and y'all are going to be dispersed, and it's not going to be the same. It's going to be no more. Are you listening? But they wouldn't listen. Jeremiah would preach and preach and preach. He preached for 40 years. But nothing happened. No one walked the aisle. No one paid him attention. I mean, that would be likened unto a Billy Graham that would preach here in this city and this crusade and that crusade, and no one ever come. No one comes. If no one ever came, it's the same kind of thing with old Jeremiah. But he preached and he shared. And in the midst of the time when the Babylonians were coming in to take over, the Lord was dealing with old Jeremiah. In verse 6, and Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, your uncle is coming to you, saying, buy for yourself my field which is at Anathoth, for you have the right of redemption to buy it. In other words, before you leave, there is a field that you could purchase. It's basically in your family. Now, your family is going to want to get rid of that piece of property. They want to get a little money and get out while the getting is good. And they know that you're a softie. And they're going to come to you and ask for you to buy it. I want you to buy it. Because you see, I have plans. One day, my people will come back to Jerusalem. And when they come back, they're going to need a place to live. And they will have the field at Anathoth to come. And once again, houses and fields and vineyards will again be planted in this land. If you will, let Swan have a little liberty with the text. One day, folks will come back, and there will be shade trees here
again. Do you know, to this day, one of the biggest things you can ever do in the Holy Land is to plant a tree? I've been over there several times, and the big thing is for people to bring trees and donate trees and plant trees in honor of those that have gone before them. That is a big deal there. Let me tell you something. It was big then with Jeremiah. I want you to plant your life and your witness and your testimony here. Even while others are leaving, you plant your life here. So he says in verse 9, I bought the field, which was at Anathoth, from Hanamel, my uncle's son, and I weighed out to him silver for him, 17 shekels of silver. And I signed and sealed the deed and called in witnesses and weighed out the silver on the scales. And then I took the deeds of purchase, both the sealed copy containing the terms and the conditions and the open copy, and I gave the deed of purchase to Baruch in sight of everyone, for everyone to know, because I knew that they needed to last for a long, long time. Because look there in verse 15, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land. Jeremiah planted shade trees that he never, ever sat under. There's been people like that in your life. Been people like that in my life. People that have planted their life, planted their witness, planted their possessions that maybe they didn't enjoy, but you've enjoyed. That's the way it is in the kingdom. That's what Jeremiah did. You see, they didn't know what to do with Jeremiah. They couldn't live with him or live without him. Some wonder if he went to Babylon and died or died on the way. We don't know. But all we do know is that while some were going to Egypt and putting their money in Swiss bank accounts, so to speak, and others were going to Babylon, we know that God had a plan for those that would return one day. And then one day they did return. And when they came back and they were coming back to Jerusalem, the little boys were asking their papaws and saying, Papa, where are we going to live? Said, we're going to live at Anathoth. Maybe he's one of those kind of men that had a big tummy and a short tie, you know, like one of our deacons. Said, we're going on back now. We're going back there. We got a place to live now. Let's go. Jeremiah bought the field at Anathoth, boy. We're heading on back there. And they go back there and they have a place to live, all because of Jeremiah. I think of others, you know. I think about folks like a Thomas Edison, who had like 1,098 patents, you know, before he was 30. I mean, in his whole life, and about 120 before he was age 30. I mean, this guy is brilliant, that his school teacher didn't think he was that brilliant, but he literally planted some shade trees for us. You know what I'm saying? I mean, as Barney Fife would say, listen, he planted the light bulb. And the light bulb, I mean, you know, when it comes on for you and me. And the phonograph where we have a little music. I mean, he did all that. And yet he didn't get to know the lights of New York City, but we've known the lights of New York City. We've known the lights of the big cities of the world. And we know lights today and light shows that just blow our mind. He planted a shade tree that he never really got to sit under. And when I think of aviation, Charles Lindbergh, as Jimmy Stewart would say, you know, Charles Lindbergh, I was Charles in the movie Spare to St. Louis, St. Louis. And when I crossed the ocean, well, little did he know that he was planting a shade tree of aviation. Or as Billy would say, or like years ago, even before that, there were two young boys on the front row of a church. And their daddy was a preacher. And he was preaching and said, if God had intended man to fly, he would have given man wings. And nevertheless, those two boys of his who played with deacon's kids one day went out to Kitty Hawk, the Wright brothers, and took off in a plane. And their daddy said, those deacon's kids are messing my boys. But the Wright brothers, they planted shade trees for us that they never sat under. They never knew what a 747 was like or a 777. On and on I could go. But they planted shade trees. Such is the case with the Jeremiah. Such is the case with those famous folks that we read about. But also such was the case for the swan with my own family.
Dennis Swanberg is a good friend of Dr. Dobson and Family Talk. His quick sense of humor and seminary training really set him apart in the world of Christian speakers, and it's been our pleasure to share programs that feature Dennis. We'll be airing part three of this series, which we're calling Planting Shade Trees. Make sure you join us then. To learn more about Dennis Swanberg, his books, and ministry, please visit drjamesdobson.org/broadcast. That's drjamesdobson.org/broadcast. Or you can always give us a call at 877-732-6825. We have team members standing by 24/7 to answer any questions you might have about the JDFI. We're also here to take your prayer requests, big or small. That number once again is 877-732-6825. Well, thanks again for tuning in today to Family Talk. Be sure to catch us again for the third and final installment in our series featuring humorist Dennis Swanberg on the topic of leaving a legacy and planting shade trees. That's coming up next time right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.